RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One briefcase, one moment could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
This podcast is brought to you by The Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to The Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Monday afternoon, January 5th, 2026. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. It may not look like baseball season outside, but for the Chicago Dogs, now is where it all begins. We cover that in our next segment. But first, for many, today kicks off their 2026 job search. Resumes are updated. Goals are reset. Now, it's time to go get it. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park Business Line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Michelle Reisdorf, Chicago jobs expert at the Robert Half Company in Chicago. Michelle, thank you for joining us today. And of course, this is a follow-up on the conversation you and I had on At Issue yesterday about how you can get your resume in order to start the new year with a new job. And the first thing I think we need to establish, Michelle, is what's the state of the job market right now? Because there's just so much conflicting information about what life is like as a job seeker these days.
Well, companies are still looking for candidates with specialized skills. So there is definitely demand still out there. It's cautious demand. They're taking a little bit more time to interview and hire and make their decisions, but they are looking. But I think a key stat that, you know, if you're looking, considering looking for a job, that you need to be aware of is that nearly 4 in 10 employed professionals plan to look for a new job in the first half of 2026. So if you are considering it, you want to make sure, just like you said, Rob, you have everything prepared and all your ducks in a row to make that job search as effective as possible.
Now, this has been a common theme of all of our employment segments over the last year, and that is you are going to network your way into that new job. Just sitting there pressing send on multiple online applications just simply won't get the job done, so to speak.
Correct. You have to use your network today. You want to reach out to former colleagues, to friends, family members, anybody that could help you put that resume in front of a decision maker gives you one step up above just hitting send.
Now, what is the art to networking, though? Because there are a lot of people who do ring up that former colleague or maybe a friend of a friend and set up a coffee, and that's usually as far as it goes. You walk away after that meeting thinking, well, nothing happened. And it seems like a networking relationship is one that has to be maintained and curated over the course of the year. It's not a one-and-done deal.
Absolutely, Rob. You make a really great point. You know, I stress that you have to continuously nurture that relationship and keep those connections warm with follow-ups, whether it be a LinkedIn message, a quick email, a text, a revisit coffee. You know, I recently had someone set up a coffee with me because he was in a job search. He moved to the new city. He pinged me afterwards to let me know that he'd moved to reconnect with me again. And so staying in front of someone, staying visible is really key to helping you pull through that connection.
And the other part, and this is not so much of a job search strategy discussion, but you have to know what you want, because maybe people go into that job search not necessarily knowing what they want out of it. And then you find yourself in a situation where you're in an interview or in the offer stage, and something just doesn't feel right, that this may not be the ideal situation to make your move.
Correct. There are so many times that workplace preference or even the job requirements itself don't match up with what you really want. You get kind of caught up in the, I'm interviewing, it's a new opportunity, I'm going to get away from, you know, where I'm at currently now. And I think it is really important to assess what isn't working for you today? What are you ultimately looking for in a new employer, new company? And then making sure you have everything necessary to show as the best candidate for the job, which means you might need to do some upskilling, take some classes, do some additional training to make sure you're the right fit. But, you know, number one, just don't ever rush into that decision. Be very calculated about it, because once you do it, you can't go back.
Michelle Reisdorf, Chicago jobs expert with the Robert Half Company. Thank you for joining us today. And of course, you could hear our conversation on At Issue over the weekend with Rick Cobb of 2 Discern. You can find that at WBBMNewsRadio.com. Coming up, it may be winter on the calendar, but baseball always on the mind is the people who run the Chicago Dogs in Rosemont.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Even in the heart of winter, the Chicago Dogs minor league baseball team is busy laying the groundwork for another successful season, highlighted by the hiring of one of the winningest minor league managers of all time. We welcome in Sean Hunter, owner of the Chicago Dogs in Rosemont. Sean, thank you for joining us today. Of course, the calendar reads January 5th, but how many days do we have until opening day in Rosemont, Sean?
Well, a little over 100, and it's going to go fast. We are hard at work preparing for a big moment of truth on May 15th, and I promise that we will not let people down.
Now, the Chicago Dogs, as someone who lives within a fairly close distance of Impact Field in Rosemont, I know firsthand just what a success story this team has become. It's a great draw, especially on warm summer nights. And wouldn't you like to be in a warm summer night right about now, Sean? But as a minor league baseball team, you're competing on two fronts. One, it's an entertainment product, and you got to find new and more creative ways to get people through the doors to enjoy that warm summer night. But you're also competing in the American Association, and it's an MLB partner league, and there are numerous regional rivals. And, you know, how do you make sure you have a product that is both entertaining and competitive?
Well, it starts with the manager, and you mentioned Stan earlier. He is one of the most successful minor league coaches in the history of minor league baseball, over 2,000 victories. He's assembling a roster that I think will compete. We've been in the playoffs the last 5 years, done well, made it to the championship in 23 and hope to get back there. But as you know, our business model is really built around the fan. As Chicago might be the best baseball town in America with the Sox and the Cubs and other minor league options. But what we've tried to do is build something that's affordable, accessible, and we're creating memories every night. Whether you're a diehard baseball fan or you're a family, you can come out to multiple games a year and have fun. And the support's just been great. It's hard to believe we're going into year 9.
Now, Stan has been, as you point out, you know, a baseball development machine over the course of his minor league career, and he was the manager of the AAA Rochester Red Wings, which is the affiliate of the Minnesota Twins. And Sean, as a White Sox fan, Stan's work was basically a nightmare for me about 20 years ago, because the Red Wings would just churn out an endless supply of guys named Joe and Jason who would slam the door on the White Sox every year with the Minnesota Twins. So it's good to have that player development mind in the fold.
Yes, you know, in his twin brother, Stu is our pitching coach, just a handful of Twins that have made it all the way to Major League Baseball. So it's great to have the two brothers united. They coach together at AAA and AA in the Twins system, and it's fun to put them back together. They've been apart for about 12 years. I'm friends with both of them, and I've been trying to get Stan here for the last 5 years, and he finally made the move, and I think our fans are going to be treated to an exciting summer.
And then how do you assemble rosters, especially around this time of year? Because the major league rosters are still in flux. You do have a number of players who may have been non-tendered or are waiting to catch on with a major league team. When do you know when certain players whose major league free agency may have run out, when they would be available to you?
The roster really becomes tight around March when we see some of those releases or guys coming back off of injury. You know, we've had some great success stories, pitchers that have come through the dogs, made it all the way up to the major leagues. Cam Boozer with the Sox the last two seasons, Jake Cousins with the Yankees for a couple of years. So we're always trying to uncover the next diamond. And I think Stan will get us further than we've ever been. We also get a lot of talent with the shortened draft in MLB. We get a lot of talent that's just on the fringe of being drafted that signs with the dogs. And, you know, we help them with their journey on the way up.
Sean Hunter, owner of the Chicago Dogs in Rosemont, thank you for joining us today. Opening day, May 15th in Rosemont. And wouldn't you like to set the clock forward by a couple of months and skip winter and go straight ahead to spring? Coming up next, a look at the economic and geopolitical impact of U.S. actions in Venezuela.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The U.S. moved to carry out a large-scale strike against Venezuela, capturing President Nicolas Maduro and taking control of the country's oil industry, carries major geopolitical implications and global impact. Joining us with the latest is Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and economic futurist at AndrewBush.com. Andy, thank you for joining us today. It seems like before analyzing the economic impact of what happened over the weekend, you really need to answer the questions, what happened, why did it happen, and what happens next?
Yeah, I think the best way to frame this is not something new. This is what H.W. Bush did back in 1989 in Panama in taking of Noriega. Very similar situation, although the Panamanian military had killed a U.S. serviceman, so the justification was a little bit different. But that's pretty much what's been happening, I think, in Venezuela, if we want to use that as a paradigm. Maduro was taken out of the country, and he's been brought to the United States. Clearly, he pleaded not guilty. One of the interesting things that the U.S. did do or didn't do, like we did in Iraq, is that they didn't take out the military and they didn't shun allowing the military to stay in place, which, if you want stability, that's a good way of doing it, so you don't have to actually put boots on the ground. But that's pretty much the way I'd look at this. And it may extend to other countries. The president was interviewed, of course, on Air Force One, talking about Cuba. He was talking about Mexico, and he was talking about Greenland significantly. And the EU has pushed back against that. Denmark, who obviously has a vested interest in Greenland, has said that if the U.S. takes Greenland, then that will basically end NATO as we know it. So this is a fluid situation, and there's a lot going on with it.
Now, the world's economic growth is predicated upon geopolitical stability, and that geopolitical stability has been enforced more or less by the rules-based international order since the end of World War II. And if that were to be blown up by the actions of the White House, that would lead to a less stable world, and it would also lead to a considerably riskier investments all over the world.
Yeah, it certainly creates a situation of a lot of volatility. The U.S. is no longer the policeman to the world, and that really added to the stability of global trade. The World Trade Organization is another example of something that added to global stability, but because of the way that China interacted with the countries it was trading with, it fully took advantage of that and really blew up global trade. We're never going back to that structure again. That was really unique in the history of trade. So that's going to change. And what I'm advising clients is like, look, this creates a lot of opportunities. I don't want to sound too mercenary. This is like, I'm just speaking objectively here, not a good or bad, decision on what Trump has done, really just to prepare for more of this and where your business interests lie. Do any of your supply chains run through Latin America or South America? Do they run through Greenland? Do they run through the EU? I don't know, but you really need to start taking a look at those kind of things and developing backup strategies for how you would deal with the U.S. trying to take over Greenland, or the U.S. acting on Cuba, or even Mexico, or even Canada.
Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. This, Andy, is a conversation that could go on for hours. There are just so many different angles.
No doubt.
Economic futurist at andrewbush.com.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. Stocks are trading sharply higher. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Gary Kaltbaum, President, Kaltbaum Capital Management in Orlando. Find him online at GaryK.com. Gary, thank you for joining us today. And Gary, someone somewhere wished on a monkey's paw that our discussions on the Noon Business Hour would stop centering around interest rate cuts, and here we are.
Is that what we're doing again? All I can tell you is that I said 1,000 times, watch the free market. The 10-year yield has been stable and hanging in that 4.142. If it breaks above, not great. If it comes below 4%, it would be terrific. The Fed has already lowered rates from 5.25 down to 3.5. They've done their job. I'm not so sure they need to go further, though the president is talking 1%, and he's going to place somebody in there, I think, in May, that may just do that. Whether or not that's going to be good news or not, I don't know, except I believe Jay Powell's the guy who caused inflation with too much of an easy policy. We'll see how it plays out.
The Dow is up 1.6% this afternoon. And is this entirely off of what happened in Venezuela over the weekend?
No, not necessarily. I can tell you the strongest stocks in the market recently have been financials, and Goldman Sachs is up another, I believe, 270, 300 Dow points today on top of what it did Friday. JP Morgan's up about 60, 70 Dow points today. So financials are really leading and very, very well. And as I've said to you many times, if the financials are acting well, no chance of a bear market. If the semiconductors are acting well, no chance of a bear market. And the semiconductors gapped up on Friday. They gapped up again today. And so you got, I think, a decent 1-2 punch as we start the new year.
And is this just simply a case of a lot of investors and traders, they are back at work after the holiday break, and they're done with their tax loss harvesting for last year, and now they want to hit the ground running?
You know, I think there's a component of that. And I say that because some of the worst stocks are rallying up. So that tells me there was a lot of tax loss selling and some of the worst stuff. And so the bottom is actually picked up a little bit here also. So that could be good news too. But I have this little motto right now because it's everything is so newsy right now. Don't blink. The next day can be a complete opposite. We'll keep fingers crossed things continue to go well going forward.
And on top of that, earnings season begins before too long.
About 10 days, it'll start with the financials. I expect earnings to be fine. I think you had a combination of low oil prices in the last year and a component of the better yields coming down. I think the productivity gains, and I'm not so sure as others on AI and productivity out of that, but I think there's a little bit of that also. So I'm expecting pretty decent things. My biggest problem is onefold, and it'll stay there. Valuations are in the trees, and you never know when the trees get cut down. But I can tell you in the first couple of days this year, they ain't getting cut down yet.
Gary Kaltbaum, President, Kaltbaum Capital Management in Orlando. Find him online, GaryK.com. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, a look at why so-called no-spend January is gaining traction and reshaping post-holiday money habits.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
No spend January is a growing trend encouraging people to cut non-essential spending after the holidays to reset habits, boost savings, and build smarter money awareness. Joining us to discuss the strategy is Shane Gornick, financial advisor, Forefront Financial Planning in Lyle. Find him online, preparemyretirement.com. Shane, thank you for joining us today and happy new year. And one way you can kick off the new year, forget about dry January. Let's do this no spend January, where you really just keep an eye on how much money is going out the door, especially after all the fun and frivolity of the holidays.
Thank you, Rob, and I agree. Whether it's no spend January, I don't think either one is incredibly fun, but nonetheless, a great way to get the year started in terms of kind of recovering from a lot of the holiday spending and trying to help catch up for a lot with a lot of that, those extra expenses you might have had then, and looking at it as a chance to reset.
Ironically, dry January could help you achieve your no spend January goals, because one area in which you could address is just going out all the time. And if you stay in and just enjoy a bracing root beer out of your refrigerator, that's one way that you can shave expenses in the month of January.
You sure could, Rob. That would be killing two birds with one stone.
And then what are some other areas that you can address? I mean, the big one, of course, we talked about drinking, but also just eating out. And I don't know about you, Shane, but the last week and a half, we were at restaurants practically every night. But now we're back at work. Now we're back at school. Reality has set in, and it's time to do some good old-fashioned meal planning.
You've hit the nail on the head, Rob. When we do budgeting and look at where spending is with clients, and where they think they're spending money and how much they're spending versus how much they actually are, one of the biggest categories by far is eating out or ordering in or a combination of the two. And usually it's not just a small underestimation. We've seen people be off by $1,000, $2,000, sometimes more than that, dollars per month. And when you're not keeping track of it and you just kind of get in the habit of doing that, or when things get busy, like in the holidays, it can be easy to just say, yeah, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and do that. But it certainly does add up.
And on top of that, you know, the old saying is it takes 3 weeks to form a habit, and January is 4 weeks. So if you do complete the no spend January from start to finish, you make it all the way to January 31st and stick to your principles, you could pick up some habits that will stick with you for the rest of the year.
Absolutely, Rob. I think that's another great point. Most people, this may come as a surprise, but perhaps not, but most people don't budget. And so having a no spend January is great at kind of figuring out what your baseline is. So it's a way of seeing if you were to just not spend extra more than you absolutely have to, it's a great way to see, hey, I can actually live off of X amount of dollars per month. And then so then when you're looking at budgeting and looking at what your spending is in February, March, April, so on and so forth, it's a great way to compare, wow, I'm spending this much amount more than my baseline, which I figured out during no spend January.
And then you can find a way to take all of that money you saved during no spend January and pick up another good habit along the way, and that is automating the saving of money.
Exactly. And that's another area where most people, when it comes to saving or when it comes to investing, nobody likes to go in and think about doing it. Where most people like to doing it is having it be a set it and forget it type strategy. Obviously, you don't want to forget it, but something that's set up on the front end that's automated where it can be X amount of dollars per month. And that and setting that baseline with no spend January gives you a great way to figure out how much your budget can accommodate for that automated saving.
Shane Gornick, financial advisor, Forefront Financial Planning in Lyle. Find him online at preparemyretirement.com. Thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday. And still to come, a pair of investment ideas from a money pro.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Hey, it's Stock Picker Monday. Helping us out today is Matt Mategan, CEO, Blue World Asset Managers in Chicago. Matt, thank you for joining us today. And let's start 2026. Matt, by taking people to school and to explain what is an ETF, an exchange traded fund, because those are your two selections today.
Yeah, we regard the ETFs as the most efficient instant diversification vehicle available. What they do is they take a number of stocks, they combine them into a basket, and then we invest in the average performance of many stocks as opposed to trying to pick just one winner. ETFs can be either very general, like the ones based on the S&P 500, or very industry specific, like the ones I'm going to bring up today.
And your first selection, there are a number of regional banks around the country that are a couple of tiers below the biggies, and that's your first ETF of the day.
Yeah, it is. That's the KRE. We talked about this one before on the show. We've been in and out of it over the course of time. It's the State Street Regional Bank ETF. And it's a very, very good ETF, very broad-based with over 145 different banks that are tracked and a very, very reasonable expense ratio. The reason we're bringing this back up now is because the regionals tend to do very well in a falling interest rate environment. And while there were already expectations for that, for interest rates to keep coming down in 26, because there's a new Fed chair coming in, but now if the Venezuela action further lowers energy prices, that's going to accelerate a decline in inflation. KRE also pays a very nice dividend. It's a very seasoned ETF. It's been around since 2006, and it's got very, very solid liquidity. So we're a really big fan of this one.
One of the big issues going into 2026 is data centers and the power that supplies them. And that leads us to your next ETF, which deals with a potential source of data center power.
Correct. It's RCTR. This is a new offering from Bloomberg, and it is nuclear power centered ETF. Now, I do want to say there are several other great options in this space that are worth considering. I picked this one to talk about today for a couple of specific reasons. It's kind of the opposite of KRE in that it's brand new. And when I say brand new, I mean August of 25. So it's still very low volume. Not a lot of people know about it yet. So we recommend you don't buy and sell this one at market. Use limit orders. But those are the more speculative elements of this one relative to its peers. The attraction is the very low price. It's under $40 a share. Now, the current administration appears serious about reinvigorating this industry as a major power source, and to your point, much on the back of the meteoric rise in demand for data centers and AI. The other options I referred to can trade for anywhere from $70 to nearly $400 a share. we fully expect that over time, the price of this one is going to join its peer group.
Matt Mategan, CEO, Blue World Asset Managers, thank you for joining us on Stock Picker Monday. His selection, two ETFs, exchange-traded funds, KRE, which is the regional bank ETF, and RCTR, which is the nuclear ETF.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know Graybar for electrical parts. But there's one more thing you may not be thinking of us for that can help maximize your next project's total value. Our pre-project planning services are designed to help you win the bid, save on labor costs, and keep your installers productive across your entire build. The sooner you call us, the better. Because when we're there from the beginning, we can anticipate your needs and help you solve problems before they become problems. Yep, Graybar does that.